outside. And all them crazy murderers will never run from inside. You try to keep me down cause you see no joy. All them knows them from, so you call them man a boy. I ain't a tie, can't just see. Open up your eyes.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real.
And here we go, folks. It is Monday, February the 16th, 2026, year of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Gentiles, the Man of Steel, and you are listening to today's edition of the Ugly Truth broadcast. Welcome to the program, folks, all ye Gentiles of goodwill. As we say often on this program, we don't wish our enemies well, folks, not since our enemies have declared that they're just on a seek and destroy mission, and they won't take anything less than that, won't accept anything less than that. And this is what we cover on this program, folks. I hear this quite a bit from the people who tune in to this program, which is that, all programs, they have their own particular flavor, their own particular style, but there really isn't any place else where you're going to hear the kinds of discussions that you're going to hear right here, folks. That's either a really good thing or it's a really bad thing. I think it's a combination of both. It's a good thing that the conversation is taking place, but obviously it's a bad thing that the conversation is not more widespread. As we say often here, folks, we will live and die based upon what conversations are taking place at any given moment. And in my opinion, folks, the conversations, we're way late. We're way late getting to some of these discussions. Discussions that really should have begun thousands of years ago, at least hundreds of years ago. And they still aren't taking place, at least not to the degree that they should. It is a very frustrating thing, folks, because as we say often here, it's not just about what is going on in Gaza or what is going on in the Middle East. The people who are at the fulcrum of all of this, they intend to murder all of us. All of us. It's just that with regards to the people of Gaza and the other people who live in closer proximity, they're just sharpening their claws on them, folks. But rest assured, as we will be discussing here on the program today, with the receipts, folks, proof, right from the mouth of one of Satan's children himself, saying that, yes, they intend to see all of us wiped out. Anyway, folks, since we were last together, Big Ear Benjamin Netanyahu, Beelzebibi, as we refer to him here on this program, definitely one of Satan's children, has come and gone to the United States for a rushed meeting with the president. And by the way, folks, today is President's Day, so we'll send out a hearty greeting to our President Donald Trump and tell him that we understand he's doing the best that he can. Okay? People seem to have it in their minds that because he's the most powerful man in the world, on paper at least, that this means he can do anything he wants. And this simply isn't the case, folks. In many ways, all of us here participating in this program have more freedoms, at least in terms of freedom of expression, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, than the president does. If he even begins to make noises along the lines of what we discuss here on this program, my God, folks, the the apocalyptic tidal wave of screeching and noise pollution that would erupt, you'd be able to hear it from outer space. Speaking of outer space, folks, I just had a wonderful thought just since we were last together. You know, the Christian evangelicals, the Christian Zionists, they're really crazy on this rapture thing, you know, where they believe that they're, you know, in the blink of an eye, they are all, they, because they support the Jews taking over the Holy Land and murdering every non-Jew that they can get their hands on, that they're going to be vacuumed up into outer space right before the you-know-what hits the fan. And I was just thinking, you know, those of us, you know, who know how to read and who have read the Christian Bible know that, you know, these ideas that really just popped up about a century ago, that this is just, it's rooted in nonsense, folks. It's along the lines of, well, even Santa Claus has got more validity to it, because there really was a Saint Nicholas, okay, that was based upon which Santa Claus today was based. Whereas this rapture thing, this great vacuum cleaner that's going to suck all of the Christians up into outer space and presumably to heaven, because they have been good, dutiful Christians by supporting those Jesus referred to as children of their father, the devil. Maybe there is something to this, folks. Maybe maybe our deliverance is going to happen. There is going to be this rapture, and not just all of the Christian Zionists, the people who earned their freedom through Jesus Christ and him giving his life in battle against these people. Not just them, but the Jews as well. Maybe the forces of heaven will say, you know, we've had enough of this movie, okay? This thing needs a happy ending. And then all of a sudden, poof, they're all gone, folks. They've just been sucked up into outer space with no destination. They just keep going and going and going and going. You know, it's things like that, folks. You have to consider those things, especially when things are looking really not particularly positive as they are now. And it's good to daydream. Anyway, folks, since we've been last together, Benjamin Netanyahu has come and gone to the White House, come and gone making his demands to the President of the United States to attack Iran. Now, we're just going to set up the discussion here, folks. Remember, for 40 years, the terrorist Jew Benjamin Netanyahu has been saying that Iran's nuclear program poses an existential threat, not just to Israel, but to the entire world. And it's for this reason that Iran has to be destroyed. Okay? Well, that nuclear program, folks, was destroyed 5 months ago when the President of the United States launched these attacks against the nuclear facilities, at least two of them, and destroyed it. So Netanyahu and the rest of the terrorists the religious terrorists that he has in tow with him, they've now changed it. It's okay, so that it's not the nuclear program that we have to worry about. It's the ballistic missiles and the funding of these resistance groups. Okay, so before, folks, there was no talk about the ballistic missiles. There was no talk about the existential threat to Israel and to the rest of the world because of Iran's supporting of resistance groups or anything like that. So what's the lesson to be learned here, folks? The lesson to be learned here is that the Jews are liars. That's the bottom line. They're liars, as Jesus Christ himself said. Children of their father, the devil, who was a murderer from the beginning and the father of lies. Okay. So all can rest assured, folks, that if by some miracle the president were able to negotiate with the Iranians on getting rid of their ballistic missiles and getting rid of their support for these resistance groups like Hezbollah and Hamas, okay, the Jews would come up with something else, because they're not worried about nuclear weapons. Okay, they're not worried about ballistic missiles. They're not worried about support for the resistance groups. They just want Iran destroyed. Okay, that's the bottom line. Now, those of you who have followed this program know that it has been our position, and it continues to be our position, that the President of the United States, Donald Trump, does not want war. He doesn't like war. He's extremely adverse to it, extremely allergic to it. And in those instances where he has been forced by circumstances beyond his control to engage in military action, it was because it was the lesser of whatever evils existed at the time. And we maintain that, folks. We maintain that even as of this moment when there is this huge presence of U.S. military assets in the Persian Gulf and, I believe, in the Red Sea and off the coast of Israel. Now, we floated the idea, Stas and I, my evil twin, who I will be bringing up here in just a moment, we floated the idea on the last program that it is possible that these naval assets have been put in place in order to prevent Benjamin Netanyahu and the terrorists that coagulate with him from launching this massive attack against Iran that may actually include the use of nuclear weapons. But folks, okay, the bad news is it's also possible that the president will be forced to launch military actions against Iran the way that he did back in June. Now, folks, those of you out there who maybe don't follow this program or follow the work that we do on the website are saying, well, what is this? You know, he campaigned no more wars, no more wars for Israel, no more wars in the Middle East. He hates wars. You know, weapons of mass destruction was a big lie. Well, folks, that same president is still saying the same thing. The problem is that he has a gun to his head, and that gun is represented by any one of the nuclear weapons that Netanyahu has threatened to use against Iran if the president doesn't do Israel's dirty work for her. Now, as we've covered on this program, folks, this is not a theory. Yes, we have theorized on this website and on this program for many years that Israel has been engaging in nuclear blackmail against all of the countries of the world ever since she murdered John F. Kennedy, President John F. Kennedy, who was standing in the way of them developing nuclear weapons. Okay, we've gone further by suggesting that Israel has managed to smuggle many of these nuclear weapons into all the major capitals of the world, Washington, D.C., Paris, London, Berlin, Rome, especially Rome. They probably have a couple of them there, and certainly Tehran as well. And we know now, folks, that the nuclear threat was clearly made because of the testimony of the former CIA field officer John Kiriakou 2 months ago, where he was told by people inside the U.S. intelligence community that the thing that finally pushed the president into attacking Iran's nuclear facilities was that Israel threatened to use nuclear weapons and, in effect, to mass murder 15 million people in Tehran. And this is supported by what the president said at that time when he told the people of Tehran to evacuate the city. Well, folks, if it worked once, which it did, why would Netanyahu think for a moment that it wouldn't work again? Okay? So it is very possible, as we said, that the president will be forced to do this once again because when he is forced to decide between possibly tens of millions of people, possibly 100 million Iranians, being killed, atomically incinerated versus engaging in regime change. The choice is pretty easy. Now, folks, before we get started on that, I'm going to play a soundbite here that I want you all to pay close attention to. This comes from the early 1990s movie entitled Cape Fear, starring Robert De Niro as the psychotic Max Cady. Now, for those of you who don't know the storyline, Max Cady has just gotten out of jail after spending 14 years. He was convicted for battery and rape of a 14-year-old girl, I think it was. And he was guilty, but he was mad that his lawyer didn't try so hard to get him acquitted. So now he's out of jail, and he is on this mission to avenge himself against his lawyer for not doing everything that he could have done to keep him from going to prison. And there's this scene where the lawyer, played by Nick Nolte, he's finally just had enough of this. You know, Katie's following him around town. He's talking. He sexually assaulted Nick Nolte's daughter in this. And so Nick Nolte hires three guys for what they call, I think it was a knuckle job. And these three guys get a hold of Katie in this parking lot, and they just start wailing on him with baseball bats and everything. Well, Katie, even though it's three against one, he manages to get the upper hand, and he, you know, he cleans all of these guys' clocks. And so there's this scene where Katie is standing there in the parking lot, and he's, you know, he's bloodied up, he's beaten really bad, and he knows that this lawyer is hiding somewhere. And just give this a listen, folks, because this is going to function as the platform for the discussion that we're going to have here. Here it comes.
Counselor? Counselor? Is that you? Counselor? I'm out. Come out wherever you are.
I ain't no white trash piece of shit. I'm better than you all. How can I learn you? How can I read you? How can I think you? And I can out-philosophize you. And I'm gonna outlast you. You think a couple of whacks to my good old boy Gus gonna get me down? It's gonna take a hell of a lot more than that, counselor, to prove you're better than me.
I am like God, and God like me. I am as large as God. He is as small as I. He cannot above me, nor I beneath him be.
Okay, folks, so what you just heard there was the psychotic Max Cady, the character Max Cady, played by the equally psychotic Robert De Niro, as he's quoting this philosopher, Salesius, where he's saying, I am like God, and God is like me. I'm as large as God. He is as small as I. Well, folks, whether Scorsese was intending it or not, may have just been a Freudian slip on his part, since he did once say in an interview that he used to serve as a Shabbos goy for the Jews in his neighborhood, where he would come and turn on their lights and their heaters on the Sabbath, flush their toilets, wipe their tushies, whatever it is that they're not allowed to do on the Sabbath. He did say in an interview one time that he actually functioned as a Shabbos goy. Well, anyway, whether Scorsese understood this or not, he's describing the Jewish brain. I am like God, and God is like me. I'm as large as God. I'm as small as God. God is as small, whatever. This is the Jewish brain, folks. This is how the Jewish brain works. And this character, this caricature played by Robert De Niro, Max Cady, where he is on this mission to destroy the life of the lawyer and the lawyer's family, who he views as having helped send him to prison for crimes that he committed. He was not innocent. This is the world in which we all find ourselves right now, folks. Okay, we have this psychotic group of people who have no sense of repentance, no sense of contrition, feeling sorry for their sins. Everything that, you know, it's never that they've been prosecuted, only persecuted. And they are on a mission, as we have said many times, folks, to ruin our lives and destroy us. And with that said, we're going to go ahead and bring up our good friend Stas. We're going to be talking about the situation in Iran and the bigger implications that are involved in all of this. Stas, what did you think about that soundbite?
It shows an enemy that is determined for revenge.
And sees himself as God. Sees himself as equal to God. Sounds like a particular group of people that always seem to find themselves in the middle of all the trouble in the world. Stas, you heard the introduction discussing the situation with the buildup of naval forces in Iran. Is it possible that once again, just as it was at the end of June, that Netanyahu came to town and told the president that, look, Mr. President, we're going to use nuclear weapons if you don't move forward with doing this thing. You know, you Gentiles owe this to us. Is it possible that that Trump has once again been threatened, that he's being blackmailed with the use of nuclear weapons?
I would definitely think so. And this is why Netanyahu's making so many trips to Washington. He feels the need to renew his threats on America and President Donald Trump, which is a very different picture being painted by the so-called talking heads, the pundits. Our counterparts in the major alternative media just keep going after Donald J. Trump, our president.
As if he were the only one that wanted to go to war.
Yes, that he's controlled by Marion Adelson, Jared Kushner, various scenarios like that, and the Epstein files. But very few have entertained the notion that former CIA officer John Kerouac, you mentioned that the president was basically being threatened with nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm. That was a pretty important story, Stas. Have you run into anybody else who has put those two things together, that the president was threatened with this and that this was ultimately what made the decision up for him?
No, there's nobody talking about that. It's just analysis of Pam Bondi, attacks
okay.
on Pam Bondi.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you've said many times, is Russia all-powerful, for instance? Did they fix our election with technology or rigging, and all of a sudden they can't end the war, or they're
mm-hmm.
idiots and they can't fight Ukraine, who's very brave? This type of thing goes on all the time. The interesting thing is, it's the same thing for Israel. They have come up with unbelievable covert action plans, and they have proved them time and time again to be brilliant in the field,
mm-hmm.
and yet they could not protect their people on October 7th.
Supposedly.
So we got these things all the time. Also, in the alternative media, they talk about the amazing power of the Israeli lobby, and of course in the bizarre alternative media, which is very substantial. I'd hate to go non-intellectual here, but very substantial in the minds of the general public, that such things as major movie stars are under the complete control of this elusive Illuminati group or Freemason or devil people.
Mm-hmm.
And that Trump is, President Donald J. Trump is in on and this has gone mainstream. Everybody's crying like, oh, well, the whole world is like the Stanley Kubrick's Eyes Wide Shut.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the pundits expect the president to march over the lobby of Israel and do what he wants. But yet many, like John Mersheimer, I think he's slightly more fair. He's just saying, well, the lobby is too powerful. And yet the president has kept us out of the all-out war that's desired by the state of Israel to fulfill the defeat of their, I would say, not just Muslim people, but also ancient Persia. Because Mr. Netanyahu has alluded to the fact that he's still sore, that he lost the fight against the Flavian dynasty 2,000 or more years ago. That's fresh in his mind. But if you ask the average American, they have no idea about that fight. They cannot tell you who Josephus was. They cannot tell you who Emperor Titus was at all. Just that it's fun to go to Italy.
It is. I've been there. It's a wonderful place. It is.
And that the Olympics are happening over there now, and that the main focus of all this stuff, which is, I sincerely believe this, that there's a lot of this fantasies coming forward about very attractive actresses. They are either weird abusers themselves or they're slaves. And Donald Trump seems to be the one that the president takes most of the blow for this, that he is a friend of Epstein and he goes and parties in the island. And that's why he's going to have to invade Iran, because he was on the Epstein Island. When, in fact, we don't know how much of an extent the president is playing a double game.
Yes.
Each side is trying to use the Epstein files to their advantage. So the Israelis want to use it so the Americans vanquish all their enemies and then go down in power, or the world will blow up, or all types of bad scenarios. And yet, the Epstein files have burned some people, like Noam Chomsky, Bill Gates, no friend of the president, a big Democratic donor, and, you know, people who dabble in these QAnon stories haven't given the president credit for things that have happened. I mean, whether they snatched him and he's still alive or he was killed, they got Epstein in a way. They got Ghislaine Maxwell. She's in prison. Of course, the hardcore conspiracy people would say she's certainly a body double. That's out there a lot lately.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, she's not really her. And they got Harvey Weinstein, which the problem is, if you talk to hardcore conspiracy people, they don't believe that any of these people are of any consequence. There's a shadowy higher group of the super Rothschilds, and these people aren't significant. Well, yes, they are. Harvey Weinstein's an incredible, powerful man, as was his counterpart, Aaron Milchin, who stole nuclear capability from the Americans. Things that have happened in the real world that are in the New York Times, that are such big stories that they had to be admitted to some degree. But that's not good enough. That's all fake. And this type of thinking has gone over into the general public. The general public, lazy-minded, has just proclaimed that Donald Trump is on the Eyes Wide Shut, or the Epstein Island, with all the rest of them. Everybody's bad. Except for Thomas Massie, who wants to release the files in an open fashion. He's unfortunately in an all-out battle with President Trump over it. However, like I indicated, you know, it cuts both ways. These files have done some damage to the party. I do not think they're being used fully in the way that the operation by, who is very much probably mega, Jeffrey Epstein, Mm-hmm. So much accusations against Trump being his pal. I'm confusing these guys. I don't think it's coming out the way they exactly want it, if I could be so bold.
Sure, I agree. We'd be in a much worse mess than we are right now if they had total control over this thing, for sure. Yeah.
And nobody's sympathized with Attorney General Bondi that, you know, she's a lawyer and they have a certain thing, and lawyers are involved deeply with espionage, but she's dealing with something out of her training and experience. As far as I know, she hasn't been a spy. And this has been for a long time now, some kind of spy wars. As Netanyahu himself did the I'm James Bond joke. And this is because they've been very ready in that fashion with tremendous espionage operations. As far as I know, you're the only one to put heavy influence, heavy emphasis on the 60-minute report that was saying outwards as if, you know, now they've got it together so much, they're out in the open. This is just the beginning, the beeper. So rest assured there's some type of major sabotage laid down all around the country of Iran. And a lot of, you know, like Colonel McGregor, a lot of top military people, he's kind of looking at it the old school way. Of course, they are a formidable country, highly educated people, 90 million people, a vast country. So he's saying, look, Iran is no pushover like Iraq was. It's a bigger country and things like that. Of course. But you cannot, he's sort of taken out of the equation
nuclear weapons.
Nuclear weapons and other type of high-tech operations that are in place, of the incredible eavesdropping that nobody can wrap their head around. We have no idea how badly USA, America, is compromised with this eavesdropping. We know that they're having to do wild things like meet face-to-face. They called the Kushner and Witkoff meeting onto an aircraft carrier. Well, they probably, you know, I'm sure they went into a lead room over there. I'm sure President Trump can't say much, which must be very taxing. He's got to convey what his plan are, and he's held steadfast that we're going to talk. Of course, he's saying all these macho threats to Iran. He has to for his base. But everyone is basically not realizing that they got a good deal in the Republic of the United States, and they want to call for worldwide attack on classist colonialist. So they're stuck in that narrative that Trump is also, President Trump is also colonialist, and therefore he must attack. Nobody is really looking at the thing. Let's just forgive America for a moment for being an empire, and that she is trying to stop being used as a weapon, using nuclear weapons, using the massive force of the U.S. There's tremendous pressure on Trump and his administration to begin a Kosovo-like bombing campaign. I don't think he wants to do that. Right
no,
now,
doesn't.
I'm thinking
he
wants
doesn't.
To do a
just like he didn't. Oh, yeah, just like he didn't want to do the bombing campaign at the end of June. So it's what's we? Oh, okay. No. Okay, don't worry. I'll edit that out. Okay. So the bottom line here, again, as we say often on this program, okay, yeah, we understand why people are emotional about this. Okay, Trump said no more wars in the Middle East, and now we're on the verge, possibly, of getting into another war. What we're saying, folks, is that it's much more serious than what you're being led to believe. It's not that the president is a warmonger. It's not that he wants to kill all of these people in Iran, engage in regime change and all the rest of that. It's that he has a gun to his head, and that gun is in the form of a nuclear weapon. Now, as I said before, the statement by John Kiriakou, folks, is not the only smoking gun that we have with regards to the threat of nuclear weapons. Just this week, this weekend, an op-ed was published by this insane rabbi. I know I'm repeating myself. His name is Nachman Kahana. He's the brother of the late Meir Kahana, who's the founder of the Koch movement, a political party that was declared a terrorist organization, even in Israel, folks, even in a terrorist state like Israel. Koch was so over the top, and the Jews realized that this was such bad press for them that they had to outlaw the party and declare it a terrorist organization. Anyway, this rabbi wrote a piece this week. I actually had to think about it for a couple days, folks, before I published it on the website, because it was so extreme and over the top in what was said in it, that I wanted to make sure that the ed note that was accompanying it, that all of the T's were crossed and the I's were dotted. So the title of the piece is, "For World Peace, Trump Must Do to Iran What Truman Did to Japan at the End of World War II." Now, folks, like I said at the beginning of the program, we have to understand the mindset that is driving these people. We have to understand how the Jewish brain works in order to understand the full scope of what we're dealing with here and what we will be dealing with tomorrow. So, the deranged rabbi begins his essay with the following. "China, India, and the continent of Africa make up more than half the world's population of 8.3 billion, but at this point in time, the eyes of the world are glued to three very different, unique individuals who are shaping the destiny of not just the Middle East, but indeed the entire world. The three figures are descendants," pay very close attention to this, folks, "three figures are descendants of personalities who first appeared in the book of Genesis and who were indeed destined from birth to shape humanity's future. The first was Jacob, the Jew. The second was Esau, Jacob's evil brother, who is the father of Christian Europe. And three, Ishmael, the father of the Muslims. Leading the talks today are Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, the Jew, President Donald Trump, the Christian, and Ayatollah Khamenei, the Muslim. In the book of Exodus, we, the Jews, are commanded that thou shalt make no agreement with them, nor with their gods. Each of the above characters, in his own way, represents a religion that dreams of world conquest. The Christians, through international economic and financial control, the Muslims through jihad, and the Jews, now get ready, folks, have a barf bag ready, and the Jews want to conquer the world through encouraging universal recognition of God, the eternal creator of all that exists, with his point of connection to the material world being the Temple of Jerusalem." Yeah, the Jews aren't trying to, they're not involved in international economic and financial control, and certainly not involved in jihad, meaning engaging in religious terrorism. Anyway, he goes on, "These three societies," meaning the Jewish, Christian, and Muslim, "based on religious differences, cannot live together under the same roof. Oceans of blood, both Jewish and Gentile, have been spilled by the descendants of Esau," meaning the Christians, "and Ishmael," meaning the Muslims. "And according to our reliable sources," the Jewish prophets, "the two will eventually mutually destroy each other, leaving the Jewish nation to rule over the survivors of these wars to a better world," again, as taught by our prophets. Keep the first sentence of that paragraph in mind, folks. "These three societies," Christian, Islamic, and Jewish, "based on their religious differences, cannot live together under the same roof." Okay. He continues, we are now in the eye of the destructive hurricane sweeping through the world, but we, the Jewish nation, are protected by God's promise to guard his nation from the bolts of lightning and the roaring thunder that is assuredly to come. God, in his wisdom, has brought together at the fulcrum of current events the descendants of the biblical ancients, two who are outside of God's intimate covenant but believe they are in it, and the third who is deeply in it but at times acts as if he is not so sure. Who did this? Who commanded all of this? Who decreed this? Is it not the God of Israel? Is it wise for us to wait for the enemy to act? News reporters are trying to guess why Prime Minister Netanyahu hurriedly went to meet eye to eye with President Trump. No one knows, and possibly the truth will never leak out. But permit me to submit my own theory. Now, hold on to your seats here, folks. In 1945, President Harry Truman made the decision to drop two nuclear bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The Iranians are suffering from obsessive, compulsive Jew hatred. And they do not hide their intention to eradicate the lives of 8 million Jews in Israel. Is it wise for us to wait and see what happens? I leave the rest to your imagination. So, folks, what this diabolically deranged rabbi is saying, in so many words, is that Netanyahu once again went to the United States and threatened to use nuclear weapons against Iran. If Donald Trump doesn't step up and do his Gentile duty, and the possibility that 90 million Iranians will be killed doesn't bother this rabbi at all. Furthermore, understand when he says, you know, these three societies cannot live together under the same roof, and he talks about this future war, which is not future, folks, we're living in it right now, between the descendants of Esau, meaning the Christians of Europe, the Christians of the West, and the descendants of Ishmael, that they're going to fight themselves to mutually assured destruction, and that whoever is left alive is basically going to be reduced to a life of slavery under the iron boot of the Jews. This is the Jewish brain, folks. Okay, this is how, and it isn't a Talmud thing, folks. It isn't a Zionism thing. All of the arguments that the rabbi is using here, he pulls right out from the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, Joshua, okay? And then, yeah, Obadiah, just, and I added this in, folks, in the Ed Notes section. So where does he get the idea that, well, this idea of destroying the Christian and the descendants of Esau and the descendants of Ishmael with fire, and that somehow the Jews are going to be fine? Well, within the book of Zechariah, folks, it reads as following. Remember, the prophets that this rabbi says, you know, they're guides for everything. Behold, I will, behold, Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem on that day when all of the nations of the earth gather against Israel. I will make the clans of Judah like a fire pot in a wood pile, like a flaming torch among the dry sheaves. They will consume all of the peoples around them on the right and on the left, while the peoples of Jerusalem remain secure there. And on that day, I will set out to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And the other prophecy that the rabbi is referencing here without actually naming it, where he talks about destroying the house of Esau, he says, on Mount Zion there will be deliverance, and the house of Jacob will reclaim its possession. And the house of Jacob will be a blazing fire, a burning flame, and the house of Esau will be reduced to mere stubble, For Jacob will set it ablaze and consume it, and no survivor will remain from the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. That's from the book of Obadiah, folks, from the Old Testament. Now, folks, many of you out there, some of you out there, maybe all of you out there, are saying to yourselves, okay, so big deal, it's just one crazy rabbi writing the... Okay, the things that I just read to you from these two books, Zechariah and Obadiah, and trust me, folks, there's plenty more scattered throughout the Old Testament, excuse me. They've been there for thousands of years. It didn't begin with Theodore Herzl. Benjamin Netanyahu and all of the rest of these religious crazies who are pushing the world towards global nuclear war right now, these were the things that they were raised on as soon as they could, before they had gotten out of diapers. They were hearing about how someday the descendants of Jacob, meaning the Jews, were going to burn the descendants of Esau, the house of Esau, and kill all of them. That nobody from the house of Esau, meaning the entire West, folks, the entire Christian world, that it would be reduced to stubble. And all of these other prophecies and ideas as well. Every Jew was subjected to these teachings from the earliest days of their lives. Okay. Now, why is this important? Well, folks, because, you know, when you look at a big tree, okay, a big tree has got deep, deep roots. The roots, I think they go at least as deep as the tree is above the ground. Okay, so when you've got deep roots like this, you have something that is extraordinarily strong and very difficult to break or to bend. These ideas that the children of Israel have been nursing amongst themselves for thousands of years, we are at this point right now, just as this rabbi says, is that we're at the fulcrum of all of this. And what is happening right now with the President of the United States trying to keep this thing from getting out of control, what we have to remember here, folks, is that Max Cady is in control of all of this. Okay, he's had all of these years during his time in prison to map out his revenge. He's got all of his bases covered. There's nothing that the law can do. There's nothing that anybody can do because he's always one step ahead. Now, Stas, on that note, if the Jews use nuclear weapons against Iran, is it going to end there?
It's doubtful that it would. It's possible, but I don't see how either the Chinese or Russians or both would be not forced to act, or that their systems would activate, that there would be a panic, resulting from the excessive use of nuclear weapons in that region.
Even one, Stas, even
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as a nuclear weapon is used, nuclear powers in the world, but especially the powers that are in that part of the world, are going to be in panic mode. Now, folks, this is what the president is dealing with. He has Benjamin Netanyahu that says, look, we're going to use nuclear weapons and we're going to atomically incinerate tens of millions of Iranians if you don't do this, which is bad enough by itself, folks, bad enough by itself. And obviously the president doesn't want that to happen. But it's actually much worse than that, because if nuclear weapons are used in Iran, as I said, every nuclear power is going to go to DEFCON 5. Pakistan, which is just a couple of hundred miles away, nuclear-powered country, they're going to say, we're next, and they're going to go on high alert. As soon as Pakistan, nuclear Pakistan, goes on high alert, who goes on high alert right after that? India.
India. Oh, that's right. The blood enemy of Pakistan is India.
Absolutely. Yeah.
A conflict which Trump stepped in. President Trump stepped in. And
absolutely.
They make fun of him for it. They make fun of him for everything. That was just a distract from Epstein Island. Or
of
he
course,
really
yeah.
didn't. The criticism of Trump is infantile, by the way.
Yes. So as soon as the Indians have gone on high alert, the Chinese who are right next door go on high alert too. As soon as the Chinese go on high alert, the North Koreans go on high alert, and the Russians go on high alert. Okay. And all that it takes, folks, is for Israel to have put one person in each of those countries in a position of authority to launch, okay, to launch as an undercover spy, an undercover saboteur. All it takes is one. All it takes is for one person in Pakistan's nuclear rocket forces to say, okay, you know, just like they did in the war, the 12-day war, folks, they got Iranians. They hired Iranians to launch missiles and drones in order to open up a safe corridor for Israel's planes to attack. Okay? You think they don't have spies and saboteurs in Pakistan? Of course they do. That they don't have spies and saboteurs like that in India? Of course they do. In North Korea, in China, in Russia, this whole thing, folks, like I said, one nuke goes off in Iran, and it could start a chain reaction of all of these countries in the world where they just say, hey, this is it. If we don't use them, we'll lose them. You know, the Pakistanis say, we're next. They're going to come and get us. The Indians see the Pakistanis getting their nukes warmed up, and the Indians say Pakistan's going to launch against us. Okay, the Chinese, who have fought a war against India, they say, you know, the Indians are going to launch against us. This could get out of control really, really fast, folks. And this is what the president is trying to prevent. So, the next time you tune in to some podcast, folks, and somebody's saying they use the words Miriam Adelson and they use the words Jeffrey Epstein and Benjamin Netanyahu, and they paint the president as just this marionette who has no agency, no free will, no ability to decide for himself, it's much bigger than this. Folks, Stas, your thoughts. What'd you think about what that crazy rabbi had to say?
It's the law. The law is that I must destroy. I sometimes think of the Old Testament as like a mostly solely for the purpose of fashioning the perfect warriors thousands of years ago. And over time, they've tried to dominate the whole of the earth. People have talked about that they thought at one point, Napoleon Bonaparte was their man. And then at one point, it looked like the British Empire was to vanquish everything. And now their golem is America, and they want all their enemies destroyed by America, and in turn will take this Roman Republic down.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's another scenario that, and forgive me here, maybe this sounds more benign, but I'm wondering to what extent regime change is being continuously arranged for these other powers. I'm not going against your thing. I'm just throwing out another one here.
Sure, sure.
Mr. Xi Jinping, I've heard rumors that he's in trouble with his military.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're just, again, if you followed RT or you followed Kremlin-friendly pundits, or there was this sense of an invulnerability in the Russian military, and there was Vladimir Putin's careful, thought-out persona,
mm-hmm.
of which isn't totally fake. He's awful tough, and they are tough. But it's just relentless. I mean, now they're floating endlessly the stories that, you know, Putin did eliminate this former intelligence official that was after him. Well, of course, they were seeking to topple him.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to do something. I've seen certain people have stories, I think it was like Ryan Dawson and stuff like that, that they didn't kill, you know, that's stupid, the Russians would never use, you know, radioactive elements to kill this guy. Well, it was them.
Yeah,
you know, if
right.
he didn't stop him, you know, this FSB guy is going to run around Moscow, continue to put together elements to overthrow him. And if people
yeah.
don't believe that, what happened to Assad? What happened to Saddam? What happened to Gaddafi? You know, in one way, these places are third world countries. Okay. But also they had a lot of gunmen, a lot of muscle, some power. Gaddafi was nothing to be casual about. He built up muscle and he resisted, but nevertheless, they never stopped. And this is happening. So, you know, people are like, well, you're an idiot. They're not going to topple Beijing and Moscow. Hey, at this point, after what we've seen, I know people are going to think I'm an idiot here. I don't think that's off the table.
No.
So, or to keep them out of this prize, because the destruction or change or suppression of Iran at the very least, although I would say that's more Mr. Obama's dream to just oppress, but the end of Tehran, he wants to see shock and awe at the very least in Tehran, has been, it seems like it's Prime Minister Netanyahu's obsession for decades. And through the influence on the American press, we've had nothing but attacks on Iran every day for years. So this is the goal. So if people think that the Israeli intelligence service is not capable of toppling or manipulating the so-called BRICS countries, which everybody is set up to be like this invincible force, I think they got another thing coming. I doubt. They haven't, the best of the best in the intelligence world have not worked hard just to have the BRICS nations block them from boxing, unfortunately, Donald Trump from doing a bombing attack. So
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people are saying, well, the Chinese aren't just going to sit by and the Russians aren't sit by. I'm thinking about a recent report by the security analyst Mark Sloboda, which I do respect his knowledge. But he said all this stuff like Iran has got ballistic missiles. They're going to light up Tehran. They did way better. America and Israel are out of defense things. Well, the way the Americans and the Israelis fight, they don't just depend on the HIMARS, on missile defense systems, which, yes, to their credit, the Russians have built up better because they saw what the Americans did to Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
But they just don't. That's only one thing in the deck of cards, in particular, Israelis have. So, and he's like, well, and he's sort of almost assuming, well, they have that many people on the ground. Well, that's something. If you got enough people on the ground that you can eliminate most of the nuclear scientists and a lot of the office corps of the Iranian military, that's something. You know, war is often won by deception. So, again, and all the credit to Colonel McGregor. He gives awesome analysis, or guys like him, or Scott Ritter. But they fail to move it into this time frame of this awesome array of technology. They're releasing stories, oh, these attacks were aided by AI or whatever. So they're fighting on another level with also propaganda that's unparalleled.
Mm-hmm.
Can seemingly maybe topple nations with confusing them by taking control of their own media systems. So, and this is what Donald J. Trump has to deal with. He has to deal with the propaganda that's arrayed against him that can, at the blink of an eye, burn down a city because an ICE agent goes too far and kills somebody or unfortunately takes somebody's life. This place is wired to go just like Iran. So they're saying, well, and then they put it on Donald J. Trump, who we don't even know for sure if Donald J. Trump wants regime change 100%. And they're accusing him, but maybe he does. Maybe that's we're seeing that as a way out of this. But he hasn't. And yet they're saying this rebellion was put down. Well, even if it was, it's my understanding that incredible trouble for the Iranian government has happened. And I'm quoting you, I think there's maybe 36,000 people.
No, that's what the Jews are saying.
That's what they're saying. So that might be not correct.
Yeah, so the conventional understanding is somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 people killed, including the security forces, police, military, who were killed as well, okay? Because these protesters were armed to the teeth with weapons that the Jews gave them. And so and getting back to what you were saying before, that so I think that the president understands that the worst thing that could happen to the region and to the world right now would be regime change, forced regime change in Iran. Okay. Does he like their system of government? Probably not. Okay. He probably doesn't understand, you know, he probably looks at them wearing the black turbans and saying, you know, why can't they wear a nice suit and tie like Xi Jinping and Putin? Okay, so I'm sure he doesn't have a great deal of common ground with them, but he also understands that, you know, if this is what the Jews want, then it can't be a good thing, because they wanted it in Iraq, regime change, and it was a disaster. They wanted it in Libya and got it, and it was a disaster. They tried to get it done in Syria, and it was a disaster. 500,000 people were killed. So, but at the same time, folks, what we're saying to all of you out there, the president isn't free to make the kinds of decisions that he would make, because he's dealing with these crazy people who believe that they are destined to incinerate the planet. How do you make a deal? And I'm not talking about the Iranians, folks. The Iranians are not out to incinerate the planet. Okay, I'm talking about those people who follow the prophecies of Obadiah and Zechariah and Joel and Micah and all of these other, and they all have the same picture that they paint, folks, which is the Jews setting the world on fire someday. So this is what the president has to deal with. Now, is he aware of all of this? Is he aware that this is, hey, maybe this is the reason why he relies on people such as Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, just the way that the Roman general Titus used Josephus as his translator and as somebody who could explain to the Roman, to Roman ears, how the Jewish brain works, okay? Because it is a completely alien way of thinking, folks. Okay, Gentiles and Jews don't think along the same lines. Okay, for Gentiles, it's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. For the Jews, it's setting the world on fire. Let's see, there was another story here that I want to touch on. Yeah, very quickly here, folks. Did you have anything you wanted to add to that, Stas?
If maybe you're going to do this story. So there's a Times of Israel headline, visiting Israel U.S. Senator, we're talking about Huckabee, has said decision on Iran is weeks, not months away. The main headline. Very troubling. A lot of pressure. I hope I didn't go too far by saying about this other scenario with the BRICS. These are all interesting. There's another one that you know, there's forces in the United States that want to, you know, pursue a world domination scenario. They want to tangle with China over Taiwan. They want to Putin out and so forth. But there's also a keener group Tulsi Gabbard and Ratcliffe, our counterparts in the alternative media have completely, they're like, oh, Tulsi Gabbard is folded. And Ratcliffe, they often refer to him as a Mossad stenographer.
Mm-hmm.
When the New York Times has gone after Ratcliffe saying he only tries to put Trump people in place there. So let's suppose that the alternative media is wrong, and really, Donald J. Trump is who he is, a billionaire coming out of Queens, New York, that loves America, that does that's not owned by all these things, that he did not go to the Eyes Wide Shut party in the way that they're doing. They're doing analysis, like, they're not doing any what if, like you like to use that analogy of the CIA analyst Ryan saying, hey, the sub commander wants to defect. So what if, folks, as we said on this thing a million times, what if the president is perhaps on our side?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he doesn't want the world to blow up. Mm-hmm. Maybe with this technology, the guy's going to live to 100. Okay, that's just him personally. Maybe he would like to leave Earth.
Yeah, in one piece. Yeah, for his kids and grandkids to enjoy.
Yeah,
instead of them having to live the rest of their lives in some underground shelter that doubtless he had built for himself and his family decades ago.
Yes, the people are actually, more than you would think, believing these not completely thought-out scenarios that virtually every world leader is giving the hand signs and they're all under control, and that nobody fights for power, and they so often leave out the titanic struggle between the RNC and the DNC and all this stuff, that there is really something going out, and it's not entirely 4D chess. It is what it is. It's the president can't speak to us normally, and other leaders can't, because they'll be thrown out of office. The reason will be too direct to give an excuse to eliminate them. So everybody has to play these games and has to say other things. However, the media has indicated that the Chinese government is tired of the Palestinian situation. That although all of Europe wants to destroy Russia, there's other places, like mighty China and Russia, that don't want a nuclear war in the Ukraine region. And they know what the stakes are in the Middle East for peace. But they can't overtly talk about it, you know. So I don't know. We have to wait and see. And it's looking now, unfortunately, for better for worse, that there is now the distinct possibility that President Trump is going to have to aid the opposition and take out the ballistic missiles and try to go for regime change. It looks like they're set up for sustained bombing. However, I'm still holding out hope that that's really what he doesn't want, and he's ordering his men to not do it.
Or they have gotten parallel orders that we don't know about. Maybe this is what they were talking about when Hegseth had them all come to Virginia back in September in order to have this conversation face to face that they knew they couldn't have over any telecommunications channels, to say, look, this is what's coming. Remember, folks, this was in September, which was 2 months after, 3 months after the threat to use nuclear weapons was issued by Netanyahu. So Trump knew that, the president knew that this was going to come up again. Okay, Netanyahu would do it again. It's possible, folks, that all of the military hardware is there in the Persian Gulf, in the Red Sea, and off the coast of Israel in order to pull the plug on what Netanyahu is planning to do. It's possible.
Yeah. The Prime
We're
Minister
not putting a number on it.
May think that his forces are going to engage the empire.
Mm-hmm.
That he's fantasizing about a rematch. It's not Italy. It's America is Rome now in their mind, which is bizarre.
The descendants of Esau. The descendants of Esau.
How dare you get in our way? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he's got. I'm sure he's got generals in the American military that are favoring him.
Yeah, Netanyahu.
I mean, we could be looking at a bizarre.
Yes.
Right. Of U.S. military both engaging itself and the
yes.
Israelis.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you know, everybody. Most of the time, you hear people casually say the stories of old that the dragon will come, and it's the Book of Revelation. I believe, you know, that there's stories about China and Russia coming down to attack poor Israel in the last days. Well, the way they've been operating, they may get this, I don't have any other word to use, fantasy, to come true.
Yeah.
And, you know, as mighty as they are, that's nothing to sneeze at, too. You're looking at a billion, I don't know if the Chinese can field a billion troops. I mean, and are they going to face internal opposition?
Sure.
Chinese
Absolutely.
Military who want to be friendly to Israel and Chinese military that wants to attack Israel. These are the type of scenarios that could play forth. And they may come out in the news as something different. Like, geez, fighting breaks out in a city in China.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. It looks like nothing to us, but it's huge.
Yeah.
And the same thing for Russia now. You know, who would have thought that the Ukrainians could have lasted against the Russian bear? Well, they've got all kinds of European and British spy agencies on their side and rogue elements of the Americans. So with this World War III, which is occurring now, although it to some people say, hey, it's not that bad. It is bad. It's not ending, and it's going. And when your region or countries turn in this battle, you're going to feel it, and it's bizarre. Mm-hmm. And it is stuff like, you know, I hate to use an old school, paranoid book, but a back to Brzezinski who Alistair Cook and everybody, he's been dead a long time now. And they still refer to him as the Svengali. All our problems are from this Polish Gentile guy. That's what he explained. Like, war will be different. There'll be these massive segments of all kind of mind control components. And we saw one of the things we saw in some sense a real, in some sense a fake biological attack in the COVID. And we've got again these propaganda so sophisticated that it can potentially take a country down.
Mm-hmm.
These bizarre social media.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, convincing Iran that they're toppling with well-placed social media, that these beautiful Iranian girls are being tortured or manipulated. And you know, it causes extreme unrest. Did we do this? No, they didn't even do it. But the world thinks that they're doing these horrible things. And some sophisticated American military people are just doing a lot of damage to Iran by, you know, to the American public by stereotyping the Iranian leadership as incredibly evil and backward that deserve to be bombed in
just like Iraq, just like Libya, just like Syria. On and on.
Yes, when they are the people who are trying to stop, you know, the end of the world, they're now victims of incredible propaganda. I mean, I can't be, and I know it sounds weird to say, you know, can you topple an entire country with Meta Facebook? I'm prepared to say I don't know now.
Mm-hmm. Well, it certainly makes it easier.
Yes. Yes.
All right. There's one more story I'm going to cover very quickly here, Stas. We're going to use this to close out the program. This is, I guess, like the bookend to it. This is actually an older story that I ran on the website years ago. And folks, as much as those of you out there hearing it are going to be tempted to say, oh, well, this is just one crazy guy who did this crazy thing. Well, we'll just do the story here, folks. Israeli father murders his wife and children because they were, quote, Amalek. Okay. Let's see. This comes off of the Times of Israel. A man was charged Thursday with murdering his wife and two young children along with a neighbor's child and attempting to murder another child after being judged fit to stand trial. Nadav Sela, 28, was accused in the Nazareth District Court of stabbing to death his wife, his two sons, and the next-door neighbor in the family's home in the northern town of Migdal outside of Tiberias, blah, blah, blah. Nachman's brother, Nathan 10, was knifed in the face, neck, and hands, managed to survive. Hold on, let's see. According to the charge sheet, Sela did not stop stabbing, even as the victims begged to be spared, and he did not leave the house until he was sure that he had killed everyone. When he was arrested, let's see, after the killings, he was found in a nearby grove of olive trees. He confessed, and he just kept saying, they're Amalek, they're Amalek. Okay, now, why is this important, folks? Well, clearly, this crazy person got this idea, and this crazy Jew got this idea in his mind about Amalek, this story in the Old Testament and how the Jews are commanded to wipe them out, wipe them off the face of the earth. Okay? Comes out of the book of Samuel and the book of Deuteronomy, folks. It's not a Talmud thing. It is an Old Testament thing. Well, folks, you know, we read a story like that and we say, oh, this guy's crazy. Obviously he is. But, folks, this is the same thing that Benjamin Netanyahu and many of his ministers said in the early days of this satanic black mass that took place in Gaza, is that we are commanded to wipe out Amalek. Okay. Now, unfortunately, folks, the reaction to Netanyahu's statement, it did not get the kind of attention that it should have. It should be something that we're still talking about to this day, folks. Okay? What he said, in effect, by quoting the, I think, second book of Samuel and about wiping Amalek out, is that we intend to kill all of them, because that's what it says. Kill all of them. Women, children, even their livestock, make sure that nothing remains alive. So Netanyahu and all of the Jews worldwide, folks, who support this war, who have supported this war, the reason that they do is because they understand what they're commanded to do. Okay, again, this isn't something that just popped up a couple of weeks or months or years or decades or centuries ago, folks. This is 3,000 years of ingrained thinking, and it's not just the Middle East. It's all of us. It's all of us. So, where are we going with this, folks? Again, as I said at the beginning of the program, you know, there is a theme to this podcast and the discussions that we have here that unfortunately is not yet taking place to the degree that it should, which is the seriousness, the serious danger, the existential danger in which all of us find ourselves. Okay? These people are out to destroy us. And therefore, folks, as we go through our lives, as we go through our days, we have to make sure, we have to completely detoxify ourselves of every vestige of poison that they have dumped into our brains, okay? And that begins by first understanding that they're not like us. They're not like us the way that sheep are not like wolves, okay? They may have certain similarities. They're both covered with fur. They run on four legs, and they've got a long snout. But that's where the similarities end, folks. And if we stand any hope, any chance of getting through this thing alive, we have to begin all of this by understanding that we are two completely different organisms. I know it's a very in thing to say, oh, you know, we're all the same. No, we're not, folks. No. When you want to live your life enjoying the life that your Creator has given you without harming anyone, and then you have somebody who has consecrated him or herself to your destruction, obviously they're not the same. Anyway, folks, that's it for today. It's been a great program. We want to thank our good friend Stas for giving us his time and his brilliant thoughts. Folks, we hope to be back a week from now, but, you know, we're at this point, like I said, where we just don't know. The rabbi said we're at the fulcrum now, where things are moving very quickly and everything's about to blow, and it really is, folks. We hope to be back with you next week, but next week it may be a completely different world than what we're living in now, to the point where we'll look back to today, February the 16th, and say those were the good old days. Anyway, that's it for today, folks. Until we meet again, go out and not just pray for a miracle, but work for one, folks, because as we say often here, we really, really need it.